You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. We love the earth. It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, August 15th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And you'll have to excuse me, I've had to smoke a lot of weed this afternoon as I just finished seeing the live press conference by the 45th occupant of the White House, where he quintupled down on his remarks, his initial remarks regarding Charlottesville, and basically gave aid and comfort to neo-Nazis and white supremacists in our country. Let's just make this clear. There are no good people who march under a Nazi flag or a Confederate flag. Sorry. You march under the flag of a country dedicated to white supremacy that fought for the destruction of the United States, and you are not a good person. Sorry, those days are over. I'm still trying to digest the whole thing. I'm mad as hell about it, and I'm just going to have to save it for another time because we've got so much to cover on today's show. We won't be able to get it all in. First of all, I can confirm now officially that I will be heading to the Product Earth Expo in Birmingham, England on September 2nd and 3rd. That's right, Labor Day weekend, the Marijuana Agenda is headed to Europe for the first time ever, and we'll be there from August 31st through September 6th. So we'll be doing some live shows from England with some of my favorite UK cannabis activists out there, including Greg DeHoat from the UK Cannabis Social Clubs. So make sure you tune in a couple weeks where we'll have live shows from London, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. London, England time. So check those out, and you can get more information up on the Marijuana Agenda website at mjagenda.com. Now, coming up on the show today, we have an edition of our Marijuana Policy Insider. Morgan Fox, the communications director from the Marijuana Policy Project, joins us to give us an update on the recommendations by Trump's Department of Justice Marijuana Task Force and what they think of the Cole memo. And then in the Radical Rant today, I'm going to take on the Oregon Liquor Control Commission and their two-faced concern about the children. Oh, they're so worried about the kids and weed, but when it comes to booze, they're virtually silent. In fact, they even are enticing kids to drink. We'll tell you all about that in the rant. But first, let's get to the cannabis headline news.
This is your cannabis headline news. Brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Tuesday, August 15th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. Massroots reports that a new bill in the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands Senate would allow residents of the tiny U.S. territory to vote to end cannabis prohibition next November. If the legislation passes, marijuana wouldn't immediately become legal. Instead, the question would then be put before the territory's roughly 18,000 registered voters. If they approve it, adults over 21 years of age would be allowed to possess 4 ounces of marijuana, 16 ounces of cannabis products in solid form, 72 ounces of marijuana products in liquid form, and 10 grams of cannabis extract. They would also be allowed to grow 12 mature plants and 24 seedlings at home. Certified medical patients would be allowed to grow more with a doctor's permission. A cannabis commission would be charged with setting regulations for legalization's implementation by June 1st, 2019, and would be directed to begin receiving marijuana business license applications by July 1st. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says that if the science checks out, the association is open to the legalization of medical marijuana. Slam Online interviewed Silver, who said, quote, "I would say it's something we will look at. I'm very interested in the science when it comes to medical marijuana. My personal view is that it should be regulated in the same way that other medications are if the plan is to use it for pain management. And it's something that needs to be discussed with our players association. But to the extent that science demonstrates that there are effective uses for medical reasons, we'll be open to it. Hopefully there's not as much pain involved in our sport as some others, so there's not as much need for it, end quote. Currently, NBA players are subject to 4 random drug tests throughout the season, but they are not subject to testing during the off-season. Testing positive for marijuana subjects a player to substance abuse treatment on a first offense, a $25,000 fine for the second, and 5-game suspensions for each subsequent violation after the second. A federal judge has halted the sentencing of 2 California men who pleaded guilty to charges of conspiring to manufacture and sell over 300 cannabis plants in the first test of the Rohrabacher Amendment. The amendment, a rider on the appropriations bill that funds the Department of Justice, forbids the spending of any federal money to interfere with the lawful operation of state medical marijuana programs. Quote, "This is a signal that hopefully will go totally across the country, that federal prosecutors should stop wasting their time and start focusing on real criminals," end quote, said U.S. Representative Dana Rohrabacher, sponsor of the amendment that must be renewed annually and expires again in September. Previous federal defendants in California have tried to argue their prosecution should be blocked by the amendment, but courts found them in violation of California's medical marijuana law, thereby allowing the federal prosecutions to continue. A state legislator in Wisconsin who voted to allow CBD oil for epileptic kids, but against its production in state, is an investor in a Canadian medical marijuana company that exports CBD oil. According to public disclosures reviewed this week by USA Today, Senator Frank Lassie of De Pere in 2016 bought $5,000 to $50,000 in the stock of Ontario-based Canopy Growth Corporation, which sells marijuana-based products in dried oil and capsule forms, and touts operating more than 500,000 square feet of production facilities. Lassie's votes could present a conflict of interest because Canopy Growth produces CBD oil, but the company doesn't currently operate in Wisconsin or anywhere else in the United States because of federal drug prohibitions, said Canopy Growth spokesman Jordan Sinclair. A medical marijuana grower in Michigan called police to report his wife had been shot by 2 criminals committing a home invasion robbery, only to find himself behind bars after watching his wife die. Berrien County deputies say John Lewis and his wife Carla came home to find 2 men in their house. John ran out to call 911 and said there were 2 heavyset black men in their basement. He said one of them shot his wife and then took off with her car that was parked in the driveway. When officers arrived, they tried CPR but couldn't save her. Deputies then arrested John on allegations that he was exceeding the lawful plant count allowed for medical growers. Oregon Governor Kate Brown has signed a bill that immediately removes the felony penalties for possession of any drug in the state of Oregon, replacing them with misdemeanor penalties. Again, that's for personal amounts of any drug, including heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamine. Possession of marijuana, of course, is legal, and there is no amount of marijuana one can possess in the state of Oregon and be charged with a felony. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Tuesday, August 15th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the gay agenda, only with better music.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
This is Marijuana Policy Insider, brought to you by the Marijuana Policy Project at MPP.org. MPP is the nation's largest marijuana policy organization, promoting sensible marijuana policy reform in Congress, in state legislatures, and through state and local ballot initiatives. Today, we take a look at the most recent state and federal reform efforts with the Marijuana Policy Insider.
Welcome to another edition of the Marijuana Policy Insider. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us for today's discussion, we have Morgan Fox, the Communications Director for the Marijuana Policy Project. Morgan, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You know, I'm really glad we've got you on the program today because one of the big issues we've been focusing on is the supposed ramp up of the drug war with Jeff Sessions in charge of the Department of Justice. And recently, the administration under President Trump has anointed a opioid commission chaired by Governor Chris Christie to take a look at that issue with respect to the opioid overdoses and the epidemic that we're suffering here in this country. And I understand that the task force has now come out with some recommendations that are missing a very, very important option in this fight. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about this recommendations that we've gotten from this panel?
Well, for the opioid recommendations, I think it was, from what I saw on the coverage of it, it's basically more of just Nancy Reagan just say no stuff. At least that's what the president's understanding of it seems to be. Their actual recommendations seem to be a lot more complex, at least according to the ONDCP and the commission run by Governor Christie. But unfortunately, it did not mention the uses of medical cannabis in helping people wean themselves off of opiates or using them as a replacement or an effective treatment for chronic or severe pain. And that's really a huge problem when you look at the fact that medical marijuana states all have shown decreases in opiate overdoses and fatalities after the implementation of medical marijuana programs. So the administration has been ignoring the science on that, as well as the thousands of calls and communications that they got from advocates showing them that the science is there and that any sort of national opiate elimination program needs to include medical cannabis as a, if not a cornerstone, at the very least an option.
In reaction to this, we heard comments from Governor Christie, who's chairing the commission, who went along the old trope of, well, what are we going to do now? Legalize heroin? We've got this opioid epidemic, and people are saying marijuana could be helpful for that. And he's, of course, denying that and saying it's the wrong thing to call on people to use more drugs. Another one of the commissioners, Patrick J. Kennedy, the co-founder of Project Sam, was on MSNBC saying basically the same thing. Why would we add more fuel to the fire? With comments coming like this from these high-profile commissioners, do you have any hope that they're going to take any look at cannabis's role in fighting the opiate crisis?
I highly doubt it, but hopefully some of the less senior staff will start exploring those options. But regardless, states are going to continue moving forward with their programs. So even if the federal government, or at least this task force, does not really appreciate the benefits that medical cannabis can have for opiate addiction or for the epidemic in general, we're still going to see more and more data coming out. We're going to see more and more anecdotal evidence from the states, and you know, we're going to see more lives saved as people just spread this information word of mouth.
Speaking of the states that have moved forward, we recently got news of the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, sending a letter out to some of the states that have passed marijuana reforms, passed legalization. We heard the governor of Oregon, Colorado, and Washington, their reactions to this letter. And we also have a DOJ task force that is looking to make recommendations with respect to how the federal government should move forward. Sessions himself, in the letters, seems to indicate he thinks that there's violations of the Cole memo going on. Are we going to still have a Cole memo? Is Sessions moving forward with a crackdown? What can you tell us about these recommendations from this task force?
Well, so over the past couple of months, Sessions has said that the Cole memo is in place, but that he's going to be studying the issue and trying to determine if that the Cole memo should continue to be DOJ policy. You know, we know that personally he does not feel that way, but it's a tricky political issue to try to roll those protections back and start prosecuting patients and providers in legal marijuana businesses. But I think that, you know, he's trying to find excuses to show that these state programs are in violation. And he's been pointing to data that comes from various high-intensity drug trafficking area task forces and the DOJ special task forces to try to show that these states are in violation of the Cole memo, when in reality, the things that he's pointing to are things that they can't eliminate completely. It's simply impossible. You're never going to completely eliminate interstate trafficking. You're never going to completely eliminate used by minors. The point of the Cole memo was to make sure that the implementation of state marijuana programs didn't add to these issues, not that they would eliminate them. So Sessions is trying to be sneaky and say that because these things still exist, you're not living up to your side of the bargain in terms of the feds agreeing not to go into your state and start prosecuting people. And across the board, all the governors and the people that are in charge of regulations in these states have been saying, you don't know what you're talking about. Our programs are working very well. Here's the evidence. The evidence that Sessions and the DOJ is using is faulty and biased by law enforcement sources, and that they're going to continue to defend their programs. A couple of days after that happened, let me take a couple of steps back. When people were being asked about what the DOJ task force on marijuana policy specifically, when they were going to release their recommendations, Department of Justice said that they weren't going to at all, and that they would only announce or release anything that was actually a substantive policy change. So the Associated Press happened to get a hold of some of those recommendations, and the task force recommended that there be no change in the Cole memo, that DOJ policies stay the same, and that we continue to let states determine their own policies and move forward as long as they meet a certain set of criteria. They also suggested continued research and that the issue should be looked at nonstop as it evolves, as opposed to just occasionally going back and taking stock of the situation, which, you know, I think is probably good policy. But I think that it's really telling that if this task force was unable to find any reason to start cracking down on state medical or state marijuana programs, Sessions is going to have a lot harder time justifying it going forward if he wants to go that route.
Now, looking at how our Congress is fighting back, we've got the announcement of this bill sponsored by Senator Cory Booker out of New Jersey, this bill to not just remove marijuana from the Controlled Substances Act, but also to withhold funding from states that maintain racially disproportionate arrests with respect to marijuana. You just mentioned how Sessions was kind of being sneaky by saying, you know, eliminate all, say, diversion to minors, and we know that can't happen. Given that the states that have legalized still have racially disproportionate arrests for what crimes do remain, is Booker kind of being sneaky here by saying, you know, by saying that states that maintain racially disproportionate arrests, that's bound to happen? Isn't this a kind of a stick to get the states to legalize as well?
To tell you the truth, I think that the main point of including those was to bring attention to the issue that there is racially disparate enforcement of marijuana policies. And again, I think that Senator Booker, as well as several others, have gotten criticism based on this point. But drug policy reformers have never said that legalizing marijuana was going to eliminate racial disparities in policing. What it does do is take away a tool that law enforcement has used to racially profile and harass people of color for decades. Will it completely stop that? Absolutely not. But it starts to decrease it a little bit, takes away one of the tools law enforcement can use, and drops the overall arrest numbers. All of those are positive. So I think in terms of this bill, it's really, really impressive that Congress is actually finally talking about this, whereas no bill in the past has really made the racism in marijuana enforcement policy a centerpiece. But now that we have a venue to talk about it on a national level. So, I mean, I think that that's really the most important takeaway from this bill.
And given the Republican makeup of the Senate and the House and, of course, the White House, is this just put forth as a vehicle for talking about the issue? Is there serious, I mean, is there any serious consideration that it would really pass? And if not, then is this point about the racial disproportionality something that might get bargained away as it goes through the committee processes?
Well, I actually think it kind of raises the bar for the discussion around marijuana policy. I mean, pretty much any bill that's introduced by a Democrat, I think, is not going to be able to win anything until there's a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president. But that being said, now that that is part of the conversation, it has to be included in conversations going forward for legislation that has a greater chance of passing. In general, I think it just raised the bar for the conversation, and people are going to have to consider that issue when looking at marijuana prohibition generally.
And it's my hope that it raises the issue in a broader sense with respect to criminal justice. I saw an opinion piece up on the Wall Street Journal that brings out the point that, well, all criminal justice enforcement is racially disproportionate with respect to violent crime and property crime, all sorts of crime. It's always racially disproportionate. So perhaps in bringing up the conversation with respect to drug laws, we bring this conversation into a broader sense with all of our criminal justice reforms. That's my hope. Morgan, before we let you go, I want to make sure we've covered everything we need to at the federal level. Have we left any subjects out that we should get to?
Well, after Congress comes back from recess, we're going to need everybody that supports marijuana policy reform to call their lawmakers, both in Congress or in the House and the Senate, and make sure that they support protecting medical marijuana patients and providers at the state level from federal interference. So in the Senate, it would be making sure to approve the Leahy Amendment to the criminal to the CJS budget. And in the House, it's the Rohrabacher-Blumenauer Amendment. But your lawmakers who are in budget task forces will know what that is. So as long as you just call them and ask them to protect state medical marijuana rights from Department of Justice interference, they'll get the message. And hopefully we'll get those amendments included in the next budget so that we'll have another year of protection from the DOJ if they decide to that they want to start cracking down.
That's right, listeners. When the lawmakers go on vacation, that's when you go to work. They're going to be back home in the districts holding, some of them will be holding town hall meetings. You can get your voice heard. Go to their local offices, call them, write them, visit them in person. The more contact you have with them and the more they know that real people like you support our cannabis rights, the better it will turn out in the future. Morgan Fox is the communications director for the Marijuana Policy Project. You can find more information about your state and these federal actions by going to mpp.org. And Morgan, thanks for being with us again.
Thank you.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. If you're a cannabis brand looking to build trust and awareness within the community, consider becoming a sponsor of this program. Your message will be seen and heard by the most dedicated followers of marijuana policy reform, who are loyal and supportive of those brands that give back to the community. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button to learn how your brand can also be featured in my live nationwide appearances. Thank you for your support.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I was told by the DART Task Force in Toledo that they're actually sprinkling fentanyl on marijuana now.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association and the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Total war against public enemy number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill.
That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
The Oregon Liquor Control Commission, also tasked with regulation of all things cannabis, recently released an update to its guidance about strain naming. We can't have marijuana appealing to the children when it's sold in an adults-only store that checks ID, goes their reasoning, so we have to ban certain strain names. OLCC writes, quote, "A label cannot contain any words that refer to products that are commonly associated with minors, marketed by minors, or any names that are false or misleading. Included in the ban are names of children's toys or any character or other item in a children's book, TV show, or movie, like Incredible Hulk, Ewok, Optimus Prime, and Lightsaber. Food products marketed to or by children, like any Girl Scout cookie, Thin Mints, Do-Si-Dos, etc., Frosted Flakes, Lucky Charms, and Skittles, and false or misleading names such as Green Crack, Opium, and Special K. End quote. Ironically, under these regulations, Charlotte's Web, that high CBD strain that's helped innumerable children, will have to be renamed to not appeal to children. Even though it was named after Charlotte Feige, the epileptic child Dr. Sanjay Gupta featured in the CNN documentary Weed, and it's not named after the award-winning children's book. It's Charlotte's Web is named after a little girl, but we have to rename it so it doesn't appeal to little girls. Okay. And while these strains are sold only to adults in adults-only stores, I guess it is conceivable that a kid could find a bag lying around somewhere, see that it says Girl Scout cookies, get all excited at the prospect of a tasty cookie, open it up to find a dried piece of flour, shrug his shoulders, and gulp it down. I suppose it's possible. I mean, a very determined, stupid kid, I suppose, could do that. So, okay, let's accept this premise for a second, that we've got to do everything in our power to protect the children from this herb that's incapable of killing them, and that crucial to this mission is prohibiting the marketing of marijuana in any way that might even remotely entice the children. Let's just accept that as a given. Okay, then, how do we reconcile the Oregon Liquor Control Commission's seeming reluctance to ban peppermint-flavored candy cane-wrappered vodka from Smirnoff, or hard lemonade or hard root beer like Mike's Hard Lemonade, or even yummy foil-wrapped chocolates with liquor in the center of them? This two-faced approach to cannabis and alcohol is just the latest example of cannabis bigotry in a state where the voters mandated we treat marijuana like alcohol. Here's another example, the Oregon Brewers Festival. See, for over a decade here, the cannabis community has held an event called Hempstock, and the city did everything it could to shut down this gathering when marijuana was illegal. And now that it is legal, Hempstock continues to be harassed and thwarted by city officials. And chief among the concerns of the authorities is, oh, the welfare of the children who might be exposed to adults using cannabis. But for the Brewers Festival, that attracts 80,000 people to openly drink alcohol in public, well, they roll the red carpet out every year for the past 31 years. And not only do they allow you to bring your children to the event, they provide them their own beverages so that they can mimic the adults around them, and they entice them with fun face painting. Yes, you can bring your child to the gathering of 80,000 people taking drugs in public openly, just so long as you sign a little form that promises you won't let your kids try any of those drugs. And I've already told you previously about the Oregon Liquor Control Commission's other two-facedness when it comes to the pregnancy and it comes to retail marijuana products. They got to protect the children from the character-destroying sight of their parents engaging in the wicked behavior of consuming cannabis. It's not enough to warn us to keep pot locked up and away from the kids. I'd be fine with that. But no, every purchase of cannabis in Oregon must be accompanied by a slip of paper that reminds adults, quote, children want to be like their parents and the other adults in their lives. When you use marijuana in front of them, they may want to use it too. You can keep them safe and healthy by not using marijuana when the kids are around. However, not only does OLCC not require such a warning for parents to lock up their booze away from kids and not to drink it in front of their kids, OLCC provides guidance to parents that under Oregon law, they can drink up with their kids.
Follow- follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
That's all the time we got today. Join us tomorrow for more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. For everyone here at Delta 9 House and Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down super.